Hey, this is Gabe. This week, Randy and I are joined by Amanda from Founders Women's Health Center. We're going to talk about the investigation of Planned Parenthood both by Congress and the Ohio Attorney General, Mike DeWine. We'll also talk about parents speaking up against the Ohio Down Syndrome Abortion Ban bill that's moving through the Ohio House of Representatives. Amanda let us all know about a campaign to fund a billboard near the Ohio State House. More information is available at prochoicecats.com. We saw a return of the Title IX sports report as Serena Williams battles to complete a rare calendar grand slam, all the while dealing with reporters who ask her to smile. Finally, we invite you to join us at the Hot Times Festival in Columbus as Randy lists our upcoming activities in the Let's Get It On segment. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of NARAL's The Morning After. I'm Gabe.
I'm Randy.
I'm Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hey.
It's your first time on the show. Jamie is up in Cleveland. So Amanda's sitting in with us. How are you?
Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. So thanks for having me. I am an abortion activist, and I also work for Founders Women's Health Center as a patient advocate. And that is an abortion clinic in Columbus. We have two of them. We are an independent clinic, so we are not affiliated with Planned Parenthood. So that's my story. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Speaking of Planned Parenthood, they're our first topic for the day. There was a hearing yesterday in Congress. This is a hearing as part of a national effort to defund Planned Parenthood, to strip away their access to Title X healthcare funds that provide all the cancer screenings and the contraceptive care, everything except abortion, does not pay for abortion. So they had a hearing. Planned Parenthood, being investigated by the hearing, was not invited to the hearing.
Surprise, surprise.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I'm not surprised at all. You see that famous picture they show of the panel they convened on birth control, and it was all white men. There wasn't a single woman.
Yeah.
And it's like, what birth control do you use besides a condom, which doesn't affect your body like in any way? It's no hormones or long-lasting effects, and here they are talking about birth control.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's really crazy that they're not there, but it's not surprising.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it does make me wonder, you know, these members of Congress, mostly married, you know, I'm a married guy. Wow. Yeah. I don't use the birth control. I'm a part of the using of the birth control.
True.
You know, what are these guys' wives? You know, what would they have to say? Or since they're, you know, Republican congressional housewives, you know, do they acknowledge, hey, you know, they've all used birth control at some point?
According to Kasich, you know, they're home doing the laundry. So they don't really have much to say about birth control.
Right.
I'm sure they do. But in their eyes, you know, those people who aren't men don't have much to say about those topics. So
They should.
I just wonder, because a lot of people are on birth control, and when you look at the size of someone's family, and you're like, okay, you got a couple kids, you've got to be using something.
Yeah. Right.
You've got to be using something. So if you look at all those people, what are they doing to, you know, plan their families? They've got to be using something.
Exactly.
But they want to act like this is some horrible thing and you should just be keeping aspirin between your knees.
Right. Yes.
But like, is that what their wives do? I'm curious, like, is that the method they're using?
Yeah, exactly. I watched Rick Santorum, who, surprise, surprise, he actually is still running to be president. I know.
I haven't heard anything about him.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not going well.
No, it's not at all.
Rick, you're not going to make it.
He is still one of the 16.
Don't drop out yet because you're comical. But you're not going to make it.
No. No. But he was on Bill Maher talking about, and they were sort of talking about birth control and abortion, Planned Parenthood. And basically, you know, Bill Maher just called him out on saying, you know, do you think, you know, birth control should be illegal? Because we're not on the same page with that. And that's just a really ridiculous thing to use to say that because your religious beliefs say that, you know, you don't think people should be using birth control, that you would make it illegal. Which, surprisingly, he did respond, you know, he thinks that it's immoral, but he wouldn't make it illegal to use birth control. But he does think that it's immoral for to plan your family. Yeah.
He knows what's moral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He apparently doesn't want to acknowledge the vast majority of people that are living a lifestyle that he considers to be immoral.
Yeah. Is this why he's pulling at 0%? Because wasn't that the last tally? Like, he's not registering on the barometer with anybody.
Yeah,
so
he's either like a 0 or a 1.
His prescription for people's lives is 0% plausible.
So. Yeah, exactly.
So that was the investigation in Congress. There really isn't too much to say on that because they're investigating something that... all of this comes from those stupid videos. Mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood's already acknowledged. They've made a statement. They've acknowledged that, you know, tissue donations are a part of medical science and they exist out there. But this made up concept of, you know, selling baby parts is just an attack. There's no actual truth in the selling baby parts thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in Congress. The Cleveland Plain Dealer reported yesterday at the state level, Mike DeWine, Ohio Attorney General, his investigation has turned up bupkis.
Exactly.
There's nothing.
Nothing. That's why he gets the walk of shame this week.
Yes. Mike DeWine, walk of shame.
Yes.
Cheers
because,
to that.
Yeah, like you said, nothing has turned up because, first of all, as we've said many times here, we're not involved in the fetal donation program in the state of Ohio at all.
Right.
It's already illegal here, so they don't do it. But
to be clear, the act of donating is, I believe, legal in the state of Ohio.
Yes.
But no one's allowed to do research on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of donating is pretty well restricted. So, I mean, it would have to be like a just straight legit donation.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there isn't any fetal tissue donation happening in the state.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the single act of donating could be legal, but nobody's doing it.
I mean, you can donate organs, obviously. You can be an organ donor, but the Planned Parenthood clinics who provide abortions are not involved in the fetal tissue program.
Right. They've made that clear.
Yeah.
The Department of Health knew that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Attorney General has this ongoing investigation, and it's showing nothing.
Yeah. And we're not the only... There's, like, several other states, and I actually got them. Several other states, because of these videos, decided to have investigations as well. And in these other states, they have also shown their investigations are done, and it was proven that Planned Parenthood is clear. They were following all the laws, and they haven't, you know, done anything... like they said they were doing in those videos. And that's my home state of Georgia. Of course, they had to investigate. They're not doing anything.
Right.
Indiana, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and South Dakota have all finished their investigations and determined Planned Parenthood is clear. There's a bunch of other states that still have ongoing investigations because what else are we going to do?
I kind of wonder what's that like if you're an attorney general staffer and your boss comes to you and says, well, I need you to investigate Planned Parenthood. And the staffer has to be familiar with the entire subject because it's in all the papers and, you know, their office is getting into it. Does that person take this assignment seriously? Is this
That's
like being
question.
Told, I need you to goof off and shuffle some papers for 2 weeks?
You know, it's funny that you say that because when I was reading about it, you know, prior to us doing the show, and they were talking about the three staffers in Ohio here that are working on it and made a point in the article to say that, you know, these three people would have been getting paid regardless if they had been put on this investigation.
Right.
So just to put it out there, like, they don't want people to think that they, like, went and hired extra people to do this investigation. But they shouldn't have even had, you know, put three staff towards it anyway because they're not doing it anyway. It's already illegal here, so why are we doing this?
It's still man hours used. Like, just because those people were already on staff and already at work, they're still allocating hours to that project. So I love that quote from Dan Tierney, because I was like, that's some really great maneuvering right there. I don't.
I've got it right here. That quote was, "The investigation is basically to confirm the financial records of what they're saying is true, or if what they're saying is not true. We don't know that answer. We don't know the answer to that yet. That's why we're conducting the investigation." So, so they're looking for something we all know to be a myth.
Yeah.
And they're not finding that myth in the records. So they're going to keep looking using taxpayer dollars.
And they're going to say it didn't cost anything because those people were already there at work. Right, right. So it doesn't count.
I mean, like, fuck it. Let's just look for Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, I'm saying if that's your logic, we're just going to keep looking for something we know doesn't exist. I mean... Right. Let's go big.
Well, and meanwhile, Planned Parenthood saying, hey, we have to pay for lawyers to keep up with this because there is another side to this investigation.
Yeah.
And they're having to demonstrate to the attorney general that they're not doing anything wrong.
Exactly.
And that takes some Planned Parenthood man hours there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with the Attorney General. On the legislative side, Ohio continues to make news. There's this Down syndrome bill. It's like House Bill 135 in the Ohio House. It will forbid doctors from performing abortions at the first test, a positive prenatal diagnosis for Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So where a woman and her partner... You know, as the talking point goes, in consultation with her family and her faith, you know, she should be able to make this decision. This bill would remove that from women who have just gotten this diagnosis. We've spoken about this bill before, and now we've got parents that are starting to speak up. These are parents of children who are living with Down syndrome. They all love their kids, but they're each... starting to say, hey, wait a minute, you can't remove this choice. And there was, following an editorial in the New York Times, one gentleman wrote on CNN, somebody else published on a private blog, and one mom wrote on Yahoo's parenting blog, where she acknowledges, she says, you know, had I had that diagnosis before my child was born, I probably would have terminated the pregnancy. She says, I love my child now. I'm glad that I have her. But given that option then, you know, she says, I might have taken that option.
Yeah. Wow.
And she wants to, and all of these parents that we're hearing from, they want to protect that right to choose. They know they'd love their kids. They know other parents of children with Down syndrome love their kids. But they do not want to remove that option from women.
And force someone to be put in that situation.
Right.
Forcing someone to take on a special needs child. Like,
right.
Of course you would want the option to choose there, to willingly step into that. So... In all circumstances, then, this bill would be like, no, could they go to another state then? Is that what families would have to do?
Well, they're already doing that here.
Yeah, those who could afford to, because that's an enormous expense.
Yeah.
I was watching a video about Texas, and they were talking about all of the restrictions in that state, and they're very similar, in some cases identical, because they're actually using the same bill. They just copy and paste from one state to the next. And they were talking about the travel requirements in Texas, which Ohio is starting to look like that. The amount of travel expenses, the days that you have to take off of work, if a procedure gets pushed later, the increased cost, we've addressed all these. They said that for some low-income women, this is equal to 1 month's you know, a month of pay.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
For one procedure.
It's not a choice if you don't have access.
Yeah.
Right. So, so we're absolutely grateful to the mothers and fathers who are speaking up, There was even more on the New York Times, further readers who have been coming out sharing their stories. Mm-hmm. So incredibly valuable insight that, I mean, honestly, none of us can speak with that sense of legitimacy.
Yeah.
So good for them for speaking up, and they get the, that's what she said.
Yes.
Acknowledgement of the week.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm grateful that these families are speaking out because really we just need stories. And so many times stigma keeps people from talking about these things. And it's so sad that this is what has forced people to come out and have to share these incredibly personal stories. And I mean, I feel for the woman who was in that Yahoo News article, because what a hard thing to have to say out loud and to admit to everybody. And I mean, just the strength and courage it took for her to do that. Exactly. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. I mean, this is a really, really bad precedent that we're setting. And again, we champion and say that, you know, we love women, we love mothers, but we really don't, you know, take into consideration all of the different things that go into deciding to raise a child, especially, you know, a special needs child. That's a big responsibility. So mm-hmm. you should, you know, with, you know, no matter what your decision for deciding to terminate, that's up to you. You know, that should be up to you and nobody else. And no one else can say, you know, whether your reason was a bad reason or a good reason.
Exactly.
Nobody can really say that.
Right.
Although they're trying to.
They are trying to. Mm-hmm. They're trying to frame this about being about the families and about the people living with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm.
About discrimination.
The USA Today editorial from the other day, I believe Monday. They acknowledge that this bill and other similar bills in the states, not just the one on Down syndrome, but all of these bills mm-hmm. that we're looking at, 20-week bans, defunding, all of this. Mm-hmm. They say abortion opponents unable to overturn Roe versus Wade have used the opening, and the opening they're talking about is the undue burden requirement. They're trying to create undue burdens, using that opening to chip away at abortion rights with increasingly burdensome regulations. While some federal courts have rejected extreme laws, too many judges have let opponents get away with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're looking at here in Ohio.
I mean, I think I forget who he was speaking with. They was talking about how they use the incremental approach here in Ohio mm-hmm. and how it's been extremely successful. And they have been. They have been successful because we have these red, you know, state legislatures and state senates, and so they're able to easily pass all of these restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they add up to, like, all the little things that women already have to do. I mean, the 24-hour waiting period makes it so that it's at least a two-visit process, but if you want the abortion pill, Mifeprax, the medication form, sorry, we're adhering to outdated FDA standards, so it's got to be 4 visits yeah. and a higher dosage, and which costs more.
Yeah.
And those are just a couple things, you know, mandatory ultrasounds, exactly. certain things we're required to tell patients. And it just keeps going. They go from one thing to the next and pass one thing after the other. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they have to slip it into a bill. That's the budget. That really, it has no application to, you know, the bill that it's in, but they'll slip them through. And every time it just makes it that much harder and that much more costly for these women. And the heartbeat bill, I mean, that's something that, didn't that just pass out of committee recently?
It passed out of, so this was the third time that it had been presented, and it passed out of the House, but now it has to go to the Senate because it mm-hmm. always dies in the Senate.
Yeah.
It's passed out of the House 3 times and died in the Senate. Actually, no, one time it didn't pass in the House.
It failed in the House. Yeah.
And then they went forward again and it passed, and now it has to go over to the Senate, but it hasn't gone to the Senate yet.
Yeah. And everybody's anticipating that that's where it's going to stay, yeah. and it's not going to move forward. But they bring it up every year. So I feel as though one day it might pass both.
Yeah. And it's not stalling because the members of the Ohio Senate don't support the idea. I think they would love to remove abortion rights in the state. There are a bunch of extremists in the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
The politics of this bill are that it's so extreme that people acknowledge it to be unconstitutional. And the supporters of the bill, not the actual proponents in the legislature, but the organization behind it, are such an extreme group of vocal jerks that they've pissed everybody off over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Senate's not going to touch it because they're getting sick and tired of, you know, these, you know, right-wing Republicans are facing attacks from farther right.
Yeah.
And they've just made everybody so angry over there that this bill isn't going to really move, but it's not because of a lack of support for the idea behind it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they scares me, is that there is that ideological support even within these senators who aren't going to push it through. But, you know, I feel like eventually, maybe one day they'll change their mind and decide to just go for it. But it sounds like that's unlikely, but it scares me.
It's unlikely in this session.
Yeah.
There's always next session.
Exactly. Yeah.
And who knows, if Kasich doesn't get elected president, then they might just say, screw it, let's try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if he becomes a lame duck, then Lord only knows what he's willing to rubber stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
So
something to look forward to.
So Amanda, let's talk about something totally different. Let's talk about pro-choice cats.
Okay.
What's up?
Yeah. So I have a cat who is pretty, her name is Boo Radley, but she's on Instagram and it's Classy Cat in Columbus is her handle. She's rather popular on there and she is vehemently pro-choice because she lives with me and we talk about it a lot.
My dog is pro-choice, Minnie.
See, I mean, there's so many companions out there, furry companions that believe every woman should have the right to choose. And so Boo has quite a few friends who are cats out there who are also really, really, really pro-choice. So we decided we wanted to do something special for everybody. So we started making stickers and t-shirts with a hashtag that I love, Leave My Pussy Alone.
Yes.
With a cat on it. So our goal with this is we're selling these t-shirts and these stickers to fund a billboard, an electronic billboard outside of the state house. So we would like some sort of pro-choice messaging, something to let the legislature know, as well as the rest of their constituency, that, you know, we support choice and there is a booming pro-choice community and we are watching.
Yes.
So we need to raise about $1,000. So I'm selling the t-shirts for $27 and then, also accepting, if you give like a $5 donation, I'll give you a free sticker that says Leave My Pussy Alone on it. It's like rainbow. It's super cute. And so hopefully by next week, my website will be up, prochoicecats.com. And for people who would prefer not to order online, I will be at the Vessel screening next Tuesday, September 15th. Mm-hmm. It's a free movie screening at the Gateway on campus.
Awesome documentary.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. So it should be a fun time. It's about a female doctor who got a ship and goes into international waters and provides women from countries where it's illegal to get abortions, she provides them with the medications.
Yeah.
So it is an amazing documentary.
It's really, really good.
So it's free. So you should come out, buy a pussy t-shirt, watch a movie about abortion. It'll be a good time.
And that's screening Vessels Tuesday, September 15th. 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Gateway Film Center. That's 1550 North High Street, Columbus, Ohio, 43201.
Yep.
Vessel. Mm-hmm. And you can buy a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yes. Look for the lady in pink glasses. Yeah. I will be there selling my cat shirts.
Cat lady.
Yeah. And then what else do we want to talk about? Did you guys want to talk about the chalk at Founders?
Yeah. What's up with the chalk?
Yeah. So I know you guys have posted about this before. We have protesters outside of the abortion clinic who...
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, who are kind of obnoxious and hurtful with the things that they say and the things that they write on the sidewalk. They started bringing chalk and started writing things like, "Mommy, don't murder me. Mommy, my heart is beating." Or Father's Day, they went the dad route and said, "Daddy, don't let Mommy do this." And they're writing it on the sidewalk. And it's just... A slap in the face to these women who already have their heads down and are like shuffling by, just trying to get into the clinic, trying to get away from people who are yelling at her and who are wearing cameras on their chest. So I had the bright idea after talking with a few friends of, why don't we just go out there and just cover the whole block in chalk? That way when the protesters get here, there's nothing they can't write anywhere because there's already stuff on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So we've done it 4 times now where we, would have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to get out there before the protesters are out there. Yeah. The first time we did it in the evening on a Friday night, and about an hour after we left, a guy came and just washed the sidewalk off in front of the clinic, nowhere else, and like came onto the property and like washed our stairs off and like used a broom.
Oh, I thought he did like the whole block.
No, he just did it in front of the clinic, but everywhere else where we had put chalk, he left it alone. I think he only had 1 or 2 buckets of water, so he had to kind of prioritize.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's such shit.
And we got it on camera, so that's how we knew all this happened, is like we pulled the security footage.
Was he scrubbing like on his hands and knees? Like I'm picturing Cinderella.
He had a janitor's broom. He came prepared. He had a big old janitor's broom, and it was just, it was
Why
the creepiest thing.
Old men. It's old men, yeah. Protesters, mm-hmm. because the guy who protests usually outside of preterm in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Which is where our Cleveland office is inside of the preterm abortion clinic, and whenever I go up there, there's always, the last time I was up there on Friday, and there was just this one old guy with a sign, and he had to put some signs out, and I'm just thinking, like, you... Why are you the one who cares so much about this, something that is never going to affect you? And mm-hmm. it's like, and what, and I mean, I just don't understand. Like, why
there,
did they
There was
care
just
so
some
much?
Day, and this guy was sitting at home in his recliner, and it, you know, he was trying to watch TV, but he just got so pissed that somewhere in the world abortions were happening.
And he had somewhere in the world, yeah. women are having sex.
And not with you.
Not with you. Yeah. So I sense a little jealousy already.
Exactly.
You can never get pregnant. Is that another reason why you're upset? I mean...
Is it uterus envy?
I don't... Maybe. That's a thing, I guess.
Different theory. Okay, let me throw a couple
different theory. Maybe like, no. No uterus envy.
One of the... another staffer at a different abortion provider, you know, that... They're outside all the time, car covered in signs. I believe it's one of the facilities down in Cincinnati. Somebody told me that the person who's like there every day that there are surgeries actually gets donations probably under the table from the local church.
Mm.
And this person pulls in an income of somewhere in the $35,000 to $40,000 a year range.
Not too shabby just
to sit out there in a lawn chair and hold up signs and yell at people.
Wow. And it is a career.
They're getting money funneled to them from religious organizations. They say, "Hey, we need somebody out here all the time. Can you be out here? By the way, here's some cash."
Meanwhile, they're accusing my volunteers of getting paid. That's like their favorite line. It's like, they just want your money. And my volunteers are like, I don't get paid. Actually, I'm losing money to just stand here when I could be, you know, actually working somewhere. And here, these people who are saying this are actually,
Getting paid
in some way. Like, I don't know.
I got to say that this was, you know, this is a rumor. This is a theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're out there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've got a lot of fancy equipment. I don't know who's buying them all these flashy signs and all these expensive GoPros that they wear on their chest,
right,
and the t-shirts and the literature. And, you know, you start to see all these things that these people bring out and you're like, where are you getting this money? I mean, I know where they're getting it, you know, donations, the church, someone's funding them, and they're not out there out of the goodness of their own hearts.
I wonder if people knew they're sitting in mass on Sunday and they pass the basket, and you know, if somebody said, "Hey, we'd like to pass the basket, and we're going to give this money to an old man who's going to sit outside an abortion clinic and yell at young women," I'm sure some people would be horrified, and then unfortunately, some people, it would be, mm-hmm. It would be.
I find that a lot of pro-life people who talk to me really try to distance themselves from what the protesters outside are doing. Like, yeah, I share some of their beliefs, but they're extreme. They're not representative.
They are
of us.
Extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're telling me.
Emily, and what I would say back to those people, yes, trying to make a personal decision for someone else is an extreme position to have. You have.
Right.
You
right.
Just don't stand out there, but you still have just this an extreme position.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
I mean, really, you don't have to be standing out there to be a part of the problem of telling women what they should and shouldn't do with their own body. And you have, and it's not, you know, you have nothing to do with it. You're not in their family. You're not going to help raise a child. And you're taking away that choice from someone else. Like, so don't try to distance yourself from them. That's an extreme position.
I agree. I know. It cracks me up when they try to distance themselves, because I'm like, no, you're all a part of the same movement.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
organizations you're donating to are funding
yes.
these people. So
yeah, you may have just gotten the Choose Life license plate, but you're still feeding into it. And that's mm-hmm. still part of the problem.
Right. Okay. Where can people find information on getting the t-shirts?
So prochoicecats.com is where I'll be selling those t-shirts. It's still under construction, so next week it'll be fully ready. So yeah, that's where you can get those. And then for like more information about like the protesters and the chalk events and all of the kind of things that are happening here in the Columbus community related to pro-choice and abortion, you can check out the blog for Founders. It's founderswhc.com/blog. So Founders is spelled founderswhc.com.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next thing we got is the Title IX Sports Report.
Yay!
The U.S. Open's going on. What do you think?
Yes. It's exciting. I've seen the picture of Serena and Venus, like, hugging after the match.
That was a very nice moment.
Yes, wasn't it? That's so nice. And so after I Googled many times and figured out what it is, she is going for the Calendar Grand Slam, which hasn't been done since 1988 by Steffi Graf. Has been done by a man since 1969.
Wow. Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Federer didn't get... Okay, I don't know.
Mm-mm.
So that's all four of the big tennis tournaments, the Australian Open, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
All four, same year, incredibly rare.
Yeah.
Serena's going for it.
Crushing
exactly.
it.
Because she's badass.
Yes, she is.
She is badass. So that's all very, very exciting. And another update on Serena. So the night that she beat her big sister Venus... And of course, you know, they had a big press conference. And at the press conference, she was asked by one of the reporters, like, why aren't you smiling? You usually come in here and you're smiling. Most people will be happy and smiling that they won. Are you not happy? And then she just looks at him and with a straight face goes, you know, it's 11:30 at night. I'm tired right now. You keep asking me the same questions. You're not making it very enjoyable. And I don't really want to be here with you right now. And then there's like laughter and the guy's just like, oh, so that's why you're not smiling. She was like,
oh, God, he followed up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, dude,
she was like, I'm just being, you know, honest. But that just goes into the whole, and you know, that's a good thing because you see a lot of athletes, you know, all go to the press conference. And that makes me think of, you know, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
A Patriots coach.
Yes.
One has won many Super Bowls, won many games. Have you ever seen him smile? Exactly. But nobody asked him, why aren't you smiling?
Because he's
nobody
a man.
Asked LeBron, why aren't you? Nobody asked Steph Curry, right. Why don't you smile? Like, yeah.
Had they asked the guy that question, the answer would have been, fuck you, that's why.
Exactly.
And it would have moved on.
Exactly.
They would have been like, oh, that was a stupid question.
Yeah, exactly. That would be a really dumb question to ask a guy athlete, but we have to ask Serena because women, you need to be smiling.
At all
apparently,
times.
We always need to be smiling.
Even when you're exhausted from playing tennis all night.
Exactly.
You should be chipper.
Yes. Exactly.
Smile, it's not so bad.
Yes.
That's what they always say.
No, I hate that line.
I mean, I had friends in college that would, you know, tell, but I don't think I ever once told one smile. But I mean, I know I had friends that did. And we'd just be walking down the street and they would, you know, hey, girly, smile. And it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Yes, she was pretty. He's asking her to smile.
Yeah.
But it really is just a horrible little quick, almost subliminal bit of...
Why are you being such a bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, and it's he's basically asking, you know, hey, can I control you for a second?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me take this opportunity to tell you what to do and try to pick you up at the same time.
Right. Exactly.
Regardless of maybe you're in pain right now, which is something that happens to me. I have fibromyalgia. And when I'm like scuttling through the short north, like walking with my bitch face on, you know, I don't feel good. I don't want to make eye contact or talk to you.
I'm living my life, man.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make it. And I'm having a rough day and I have a health condition. And I had a guy one time with his child say to me, smile, it's not so bad. It can't be that bad. And it was that bad that day.
Yeah.
And I didn't say a word. I just kept moving, but I really wanted to scream at him.
Yeah.
But you can't even do that as a woman because...
Yeah, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Who knows?
You start screaming, then, like I said, then, oh my God, why are you such... You don't got to be a bitch about it. Like,
yeah. And
I wasn't even trying to engage with you, dude. Like...
Yeah.
Chill out.
But if I said that to a guy or a guy said that to another guy, of course the reaction would be, fuck off, man.
Yeah, like, exactly. Or why are you asking me? Why am I not smiling?
You would never ask a man that.
Yeah. It seems like you said on the surface, like a nice thing to ask, like, oh, why don't you smile? But it's like, at the same time, it's like we said, you... Other guys don't ask other guys why they're not smiling.
Right. Nobody gives a damn.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh, you're not smiling. I didn't even notice. Move on to the day.
Yeah,
we don't
exactly.
care. We're dudes.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so... Stop doing that.
No. I mean, there's got to be a way where we can figure out how to let other guys know, you know, dumbass, quit telling her to smile.
Yeah.
She's not, I mean, that's not like a pickup line. Like, it doesn't work.
Not.
Stop trying it.
Yeah.
Go
I just
for
wanna get
something
really
else.
Far away from you.
Yeah.
We as a gender haven't figured out that it doesn't work. I mean, it's not the most thought out attempt, but it hasn't clicked yet.
Yeah.
That this dumbass thing to say isn't going to work.
Maybe that should be my billboard, you know?
Stop telling
women to smile.
Yeah.
That's it.
Maybe that should be the response is for women instead of saying, fuck you, because, you know, we've established just to flat out say, he says, smile. And for, you know, women to just say, that never works.
Yes.
That should be the universal response. That
exactly.
never works.
Exactly.
Adios.
And then maybe if they would pick up on it, because
right.
I hear that, like, just me and Adam having these conversations that, you know, men are terrified of rejection. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe if we let them know, you know, you're going to be rejected, and then they'll be able to get it into their head, like, that this does not work.
Yeah, like,
right.
like feedback, you know, like, on their game.
Feedback. So Saturday night, I was with a new friend, and she took me to hang out with some with her and some of her coworkers. We were watching the game. I think it was Alabama, Wisconsin. And, of course, I had to cheer for Wisconsin because the SEC is going
Alabama
to rain.
Because Alabama is evil.
No, because I have to cheer for the SEC. SEC wow. time, not Big Ten. Anyway, it's for another day. But so I was there. And so this guy was there and proceeded to ask her, which she had told me, you know, I'm not interested in. We had went to brunch earlier that day and we were talking. She was just telling me she was not interested in dating or whatever. And so this guy proceeds to ask her, you know, in front of everyone, which I also thought was kind of weird, if he could have her phone number. And she was like, no, you know, I'm not interested in dating right now. But he just keeps going. And it's like, oh, well, then he tells her, I can help you. And I was just like,
help her what?
Good question. I don't know. I'm like, I don't think she needs help. She's a grown woman. She takes care of herself.
My first thought is that it's like a pretty woman, you know, like she's on the street and Richard Gere will come along and I can help you.
Exactly. You know, not like we're not in someone's house.
I can help
you.
Here
in her own car.
That's
came
the,
from her
that's
house.
The worst line ever. I can help you. Hey, yes. How you doing? I can help
oh
you.
My
exactly.
God.
And then at that time, jeez. She's from LA. At that point, I mean, I believe the LA came out. And she just eviscerated this guy.
I bet.
And it was just like, dude, you should have just stopped
while
you were ahead. But that happens, you know. That happens.
Because you know what he was thinking is, I can help you get off.
Yeah.
That's the rest of the phrase in his head.
Basically, yeah.
I can help you.
And earlier in the evening, he had talked about, you know, I guess being a player or whatever. And I was like, I don't think this is going the way
not
you
a winning
wanted
player.
To go. But the funny thing is that after all of that happened, conspired, and he finally stopped, and she was like, you know, I already told you I'm not interested, you know, stop. Then he proceeded to go to his friends and say, you know, okay, I'm ready to leave now. And they left. And they were in the corner and they were saying, oh, why do you want to leave now? And of course, because he was embarrassed.
Because he's failed.
Because he just got shut down.
Well, when you publicly ask someone for their number, you have to account for the fact that you might get shot down.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to up the ante that way.
He thought it was going to be something smooth, and it turned out so. It was an extremely awkward, like, 90 seconds.
Yeah. Apparently, 90 seconds.
I can help you.
Like,
I can help myself
awkward.
Better than you could help anyone, I assure you.
Yeah.
No.
It was so funny because she was just like, I don't need help. And it's like, it's insinuate that she needs help somehow because.
Is so offensive. So yeah. offensive. Work on your lines, guys.
How about, hey, my name is so-and-so. How are you doing? I think that probably always works. Yeah. Hey, your name. How are you doing? It's really simple. Puts it out there. Try it. Let me know how it works.
And if it's not going to work, you're probably going to know that pretty
Yeah,
well.
You know, if she's like, I'm
and
not interested in talking.
Move on.
Exactly.
Move on and take the hint.
Yes.
I think it's the persistence
that gets really
grating and uncomfortable and starts to make women feel threatened. Like,
exactly.
Take no for an answer the first time.
Yeah.
And the issue's over.
Exactly.
Also, Tinder, like, come on. You know, there are so many other ways, if that's what you're after, like, that you can pursue those things without publicly humiliating yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
You can do it from the, you know, comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, we got off track there a little
That
bit.
Was the Title IX Sports Report.
I know how we got into Tinder, but
sorry.
Let's get it on to what's going on in the field. So this week is the Hot Times Festival. I'm going to be there. Amanda's going to be there.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a booth there. We're going to have lots of really great bands every day. It's going to be tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow is just from 3 to 9. And then Saturday
tomorrow
and
tomorrow being Friday, September 11th.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. Oh, no. You can give me on the date.
Well, just
tomorrow.
In case people watch this like next week.
True. Tomorrow, September 11th, Friday, September 11th, from 3 to 9. Saturday, September 12th, and Sunday, September 13th, both days, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be there.
Yeah. Where is it at?
It's going to be on Parsons Avenue in Old Town East.
In Columbus, Ohio.
That's my favorite section of town, so I'm so excited about this.
I'm very excited. It's really up and coming. I'm getting ready to move there soon, actually. I finally got a move-in date. So it's really up and coming, nice area.
It is.
And so for people who like other festivals in Columbus, like ComFest, like some of the arts festivals, this is one of the newer festivals. And if you avoid ComFest because of the horrible crowds, the horrible parking, this is a nice smaller, also a community festival. It is not ComFest, but it's a fun time. So we'll be out there. You'll be out there. Folks should look for the NARAL booth.
Exactly.
What else is on the calendar?
Soon, Wednesday, September 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m., we're working with the Xavier University College Democrats, and we're going to be doing a screening of Vessel down in Cincinnati at Xavier. Say the date again. Wednesday, September 23rd.
Okay.
And so also in Toledo, we always talk about Toledo. So a lot of things going down up there. And so, first of all, if you want to keep updated on everything that's going on, they have a Facebook page. It's called Keep Abortion Safe and Legal in Toledo. So you can join the Facebook page and like it, and then you'll see all the events that are happening. But also, so last night, Annie had a happy hour up there, and they decided to do a banner drop next Wednesday, September 16th. They're going to, like, get one of those huge banners and drop it, like, off the side of the bypass of the highway so people can see it. So that should be interesting.
Okay.
And on September 24th, Anita Rios with NOW, National Organization of Women.
She ran for governor last year.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes. Anita Rios, very cool.
Anita Rios. And so that's happening, I don't know the day of the week, but it's September 24th. And she's going to be at the, I love this name, the People Called Women bookstore.
Yeah,
I
love that place.
In Toledo. And also coming up soon, no dates for it yet, but just to keep in mind, there's a new ProMedica building going up in downtown Toledo. And we plan on being there to protest it because they're now out there trying to sign the transfer agreement with the last clinic there. So really trying to put pressure on ProMedica. So we'll be out there protesting them when they do the groundbreaking downtown.
Okay. Yay. I'm so glad you guys are doing all this stuff in Toledo. They need it. They have one abortion clinic left up there in Toledo. And the people there work so, so hard. And they really, really need as much support as they can get, and as much pressure as we can get on ProMedica.
Yeah.
So,
like many cities in Ohio now, unfortunately, have only one clinic. Luckily, we have two here in Columbus, but for the amount of people, we should have more than two. But, you know, only one in Toledo, only one in Cincinnati, only one in Dayton. Mm-hmm. So, we have to do our best to do whatever we can to keep those open.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And also remember, if you want to contact us, you can always contact us at volunteer@prochoiceohio.org.
Okay. Amanda, how'd you like being on the show?
This was fun.
You like this?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to come back sometime again and join us?
If you'll have me.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. That does it for us this week. We'll see everybody next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.